for Saturday, December 8th, 2018. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. And when it's Saturday, you are listening to the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. I apologize for the delay. Technical difficulties and forces outside of my control allowed us to be a little bit delayed, but we're still going to have the same fun. Over the next hour, we're going to be chatting with one of my favorite people here at the Torch, Zach Haydorn, and we're going to be talking about wrestling entrances, how they affect you, what you like, what you don't like, what's too much, what's not enough. And, of course, we can't start this party if we don't do it with you, so give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So, as I mentioned, thank you all for allowing for this earlier time slot. We moved back an hour. Part forces out of my control, part keeping my wife happy with endeavors outside of the PW Torch community, which I'm sure some of you are more than happy to understand. This week, I think the new Daniel Bryan machinations were very, very, very good, and I think it'll tie into what Zach and I are going to be talking about, because he's obviously a person that pays attention to who and what he brings to the table in every iteration of himself. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what this does. Now, the one thing from an entrance standpoint I'd like to see is maybe moving away from his current theme and into something a little either darker or a little, I don't know, a little bit more fun is what you get with the yes chance and the no chance and all that when you hear his theme currently. I would want it to be something where it's kind of like Tommaso Ciampa, where you don't even have any quarter. You don't have the ability to give them anything other than derision and hate and scorn and all that fun stuff. So, yes, thank you for, let me see that right here. So, without further ado, let me bring on my co-host for this week. He is himself a PW Torch host, Zach Haydorn. Welcome back to the Deep Dive, Zach.
Hey, Rich, thanks very much for having me. Really, really glad to be here, man.
So before we get started, why don't you tell folks about a little bit about what you do with the Torch, and that'll kind of tie into why I wanted to do entrances with you.
Okay, perfect. I appreciate it. Well, yeah, I wear a couple different hats at the Torch these days. You can check out my alternative perspective Monday Night Raw report live during Monday Night Raw on pwtorch.com. It's up there right next to Wade Keller's, and it's just me breaking down the show. So following it live as it goes on and providing analysis on all the different matches and all the different segments. And you can catch a similar report of mine for 205 Live as well. So I cover 205 Live for PWTorch.com and a similar report later in the week, usually on Thursdays or Fridays. And the same kind of thing, just breaking down the show, analysis on the segments, storylines, booking, matches, it's all there at PWTorch.com. And then on Friday afternoons, my VIP audio show drops for PW Torch VIP members. And the show's called On the Canvas. And what I do on that show is pick one current event from the wrestling world, whether it's from WWE or from NXT, New Japan, Ring of Honor, and break that current event down from an artistic angle. So whether it's a match or a promo or a backstage vignette, you know, whatever, what have you, I kind of leave storylines at the door. I leave booking decisions at the door and just look at the art in the performance of that specific segment. So the show's called On the Canvas, and you can check it out as a VIP member every Friday afternoon.
Outstanding. And the reason I picked Zach, as you can hear, especially with On the Canvas, is I love the way he takes an auteur's eye to anything in wrestling. So I've done theme music before. That was our year anniversary. But I wanted to do entrances entirely because I feel like that's something, depending on the person, that either means a lot or you can tell how little they themselves put into it. And so I thought that'd be a really good discussion.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think I really think there's a lot to discuss in terms of pro wrestling entrances. So happy to be here and look forward to talking about it with you.
So without any further ado, let's start with what makes to you a perfect entrance. Is it long, short? Like who currently, and then we can kind of bounce into people in history, who currently would be a person in the modern WWE or anywhere in wrestling that stands out as having a solid entrance in your opinion?
In my opinion, like, the best pro wrestling entrances are authentic. They're authentic in terms of who the wrestler is that's executing the entrance and how that entrance plays into their character. So right now, if you had to ask me who has the best entrance of the WWE, two names come to mind, one of which is AJ Styles and the other is Dean Ambrose. And even Dean Ambrose inside of his newly found heel character. But I'll talk about why from each perspective. AJ, he's got a Christmas to the entrance, and he just has it seems authentic. He seems like if you just saw that guy on the street, like, he'd be acting that way. He gets pumped up as he's walking down the ramp. He's got his pose at the top to bring the audience in with him. And then when he gets into that ring, he kind of does that shoot off the ropes and just faces the audience and hits that pose again. And I think it's in line with who he's trying to convey himself as the phenomenal AJ Styles. He looks almost like a superhero within the entrance. On the flip side, whereas AJ's is very produced and, okay, I'm going to hit this pose here, and then I'm going to walk down the ramp, and then I'm going to get in the ring, I'm going to hit the pose again. Like, Dean Ambrose is authentic in a different way because he's this unhinged lunatic guy. And for his entrance, I don't know that you can pinpoint an entrance of his that he's done the exact same way throughout his time in WWE. There's always little nuances. There's always little intricacies to how he walks to the ring and how he gets into the ring once his entrance is over. And I think that's right in line and authentic with who he is as a character and who he's trying to be as an act in WWE. So two opposites, but two good examples of two different entrances that I think really, really work in today's WWE.
Excellent. And for me, I would say right off the bat, I think AJ Styles is a great one because I'm as much a visual as I am the audio. So I remember the Rumble and when it said I am, and then it said phenomenal, and everyone exploded because you realize, yeah, he did. It's him. He really is here. And that just kind of set the stage for what has now been a really, really strong entrance. Go ahead.
Let me just piggyback off that. Yeah, real quick. I think that's a really good point. And I think, you know, AJ, he's the cream of the crop, and he really hits that. You know, if you kind of go back and look at his entrances, when he's done kind of doing his post at the beginning, he's got like the "I am phenomenal" words fully on the screen, like right behind him. And it is a heck of a visual when he times it right out. And 9 times out of 10, he does.
Yeah, and it's so – I mean, for everything from the – you know, he's practiced kind of like the guys in football, like the Nike style of his gloves, how much he has to keep his one hand obscured so that the AJ is covered, how much he needs to bounce off the rope so he kind of loosens himself up a little bit. You know, everything he does, my mom used to say, he does it in excellence. And so it – you don't care what his height is. You don't care what his weight is. He is larger than life. And from that moment the music hits, you know something's about to happen that's awesome.
Totally. And he also he's got a, you know, intensity to it too. Like, I think, you know, you could talk about other people's entrances in WWE these days, and there's cool stuff behind it. I think Charlotte is a good example where she's doing some cool things and she's hitting her spots, but I think she lacks a little bit of intensity. When AJ's doing his entrance, you know that he's going to that ring to fight, whether it's to defend the title or fight for the title. Like, you know, he's walking to that ring to fight. He conveys that well within the production that he's doing that is his entrance. He's really got it figured out.
And for me, I look at a person who had a decent wrestling theme, had a decent entrance, but then one dumb quirk of fate has turned his theme into one of the best and one of his entrances into one of the best, and that's Seth Rollins. I know you just mentioned Dean Ambrose as far as person that does too much, but with Seth, as soon as you hear "Burn It Down," everyone loses their minds, and then that hard riff is easier to kind of slam and bang your head into as opposed to when it was just the hard – this isn't the Shield, but it's still going to be a banging riff of years prior to that.
It's so funny that you bring up his entrance, because when that "Burn It Down" part got added into the music, I about just lost my mind. I was like, this is the worst thing ever. It throws everything out of whack. And now here we are, like one of the highlights, for better or for worse, it's one of the highlights of Monday Night Raw these days, because it's something that the crowd knows is coming, and they can scream it at the top of their lungs. And then, like you said, they can just get into that music more. You were at WrestleMania 34 this year, and I was with three casual fans, and they just thought that when Rollins made his entrance and the entire, 80,000 people yelled, "Burn it down," they thought that was one of the coolest moments of the night.
Yeah, and, going to WrestleMania 34, and then after this we could probably take some callers because we can go all over the place with this awesomeness. I would say he has a solid entrance historically overall, but his WrestleMania entrance was probably the best one I've ever seen on television and the best one I've ever seen live. That's The Undertaker. I was sitting in the 100 level, and when you had the visual of the graveyard and the laser lights as you saw the tombstones and him walking down amongst them, that was like top level Hollywood. You guys knocked this out of the park. And he could still take it at his pace and do everything he normally does, but it took on another set of awesomeness in the layer, especially because it was a quote unquote impromptu match with Cena.
Yeah, it sure did, and I think you can't have a pro wrestling entrance discussion without talking about The Undertaker, right? I think that's another great example of what I was kind of talking about at the top of the show, of just being authentic with the character. And I Undertaker's probably the best example out there, period. I mean, he's able to do the slow walk to the ring, the dead man gimmick. He's got, at WrestleManias, he's had the druids with him. It's dark, there's fire, there's, lightning bolts. Like, it fits. It just fits well. And it doesn't seem like AJ Styles and like Ambrose, for me, it doesn't seem like he's putting it on. It seems like that is him. That is his character. And I think that's what makes it so, that element of being genuine is what makes it so effective.
Absolutely. So let's go to the calls. We have a fine gentleman who I am very happy to always talk with, Mr. 478 himself. Thank you for calling the Deep Dive. State with your name and where you're calling from. Uh-oh. Kylan?
Is this part of his entrance?
I think it might be. I'm going to put him back on hold because maybe he just wasn't ready. That's fine. But let's go back to the themes. Now, I talked about the ones I like. One theme I don't like, or entrance I don't necessarily like, is one you already mentioned, and that I think it's Charlotte. She does, to me, she has a great legacy. It's kind of like I really enjoyed when Curtis Axel shifted to the altered version of his dad's theme song. So you have the legacy, but it's been tweaked a little bit. I thought that was really cool. Same thing with her having a version of her dad's theme song. That's fine. But you can do the flip, you can do the split. I don't know if you need both.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it just, hers to me, I totally agree with you about the music, by the way. I think that her music itself fits perfectly. But she seems like when she's out there going through the entrance, she's mentally trying to remember, okay, I have to walk out here, and then I'm going to spin around and make eye contact here, and then I'm going to walk down, take off the cape, coat, robe thing, and then I'm going to do my flip, and then I'm going to roll into the ring. And it's like there's no emotion or kind of passion or feeling that entrance. It's just her kind of going through the steps. Almost like this is a weird analogy, but it's like there's good dancers out there, right, who can do the dance moves, but you can also tell the great dancers for the good ones, because they're actually feeling the dance that they're doing. And I think that's the differentiation between Charlotte here. I think it's fine, but she's not in the moment with the entrance. She's trying to remember the steps and make sure she hits all her marks, rather than be authentic and genuine with what she's doing.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think it just, especially even if she just kept the regal robe and she didn't do the split or the flip and she just mean mugged you as you walk down the ring as the queen, I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, totally. And the other thing with Charlotte, too, is it's like regardless, and this could be another element to dive deeper into, pun definitely intended, in a little bit. But, you know, it seems like regardless of the situation, she could be in like just the baddest of blood feuds. And regardless of whether her dad was beaten up or Paige talked about her brother and her father, like she's doing that entrance regardless. There's no sense of like, wow, okay, I'm going to forgo the entrance because I want to get down to that ring and beat up my opponent. Like she's always kind of just cool with just hitting those spots and doing her thing. And I just think she loses touch with the emotion of it when she does that.
Yeah, and going down, I mean, because at this point we might as well just hit all of the women, the wrestling horse women. I look at them and they all have their own nuanced things. Becky's, I thought, was a little too manic, but now that she's become the man, it's perfect. Because she's gotten rid of the steampunk gears, she's gotten rid of the steam, all she has now is the man. And then that really iconic, very just like with Sami Zayn, if he finds something that's going to be a good hitch for him when he comes back, he has a really catchy theme. He just needs a really good entrance. It can't just be, I'm happy-go-lucky coming down the ring.
Exactly. And I'm with you on Becky. I think the kind of the black backdrop on her entrance and on the video screens, and it just says, you know, the man, and she's able just to pose at the top of the ramp, hold that belt up, and just walk on out there. I mean, that's all her character needs at this point, because she is as hot as she is, and she, you know, is one of the best things going right now in WWE. She knows it. She's the man. She knows all eyes are on her, regardless of any sort of bells and whistles on her entrance. So, you know, simple is better for her in that regard.
And with Sasha, boss time. That I would lose, say, in boss time.
Oh, God, yeah, me too. She's another one where it's like there's parts of her entrance that I really like. I like when she gets to the ring. I think she kind of engages with the audience, especially as a babyface. It works. She kind of, like, dips down and shows, like, the legit boss kind of ring thing that she has. But what drives me crazy about her entrance is when she hits kind of that pose in line with her music at the top of the ramp. So she comes out and then like the song kicks in and she does her little side pose deal. Like to me, it's like, you're like listening to the music, waiting for that moment to hit so you could do it. And that's just, that's overproduced in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm with you completely. And then moving to Bayley, I think the wacky waving inflatable arm flailing two men or Bayley buddies, as they like to say, so they don't get sued or they have something that they can sue people over. I think it's fine. I think her deal is fine, but she needs an edge. And I was talking on the East Coast cast about the fact that, you know, Edge and Christian's show is back on. And that was a really fun show for me when it first was on the first season. And then on top of that, I really enjoyed how strong it was in terms of giving characters who don't get a lot of TV time. TV time. And Bayley was one of the best cases because she was harassing toward the end of the first season Tommy Dreamer to no end, to the point where she was hitting him in the groin with a kendo stick to prove how hardcore she was. And now she's come back and she's sitting down as a psychiatrist for the revival, and they're doing sock puppets. And it's like, well, maybe I want to do flips. Maybe I'm not just about fisting. And then she, like, looks up with her eyebrows raised, like, looking at her fist. And I'm like, this is more personality I've seen out of her than I've seen in the year and a half since this show's been off. And it just extends its way out to her theme.
It does. And I'm with you. I think she needs an edge. I think in a vacuum, just looking at at her entrance for what it is. Like, I think, like you said, it's fine. It does the job. I think it checks off a lot of boxes that I have in terms of it being authentic and being in line with the Bayley character. It's just that at this point with where Bayley is these days, you know, I'm not sure that that character is enough. So this plays into it, but you give it a little bit of an edge, give her a little bit of an edge, and you can tweak that entrance and make it fit better. But for who Bayley is right now today, you know, I can't nitpick too much with it. Seems like, and on top of that, the audience reacts big for it 9 times out of 10. So yeah, I want there to be a little bit more there, a little bit more depth. And I think if they told the Bayley story better on the main roster, that entrance would be more endearing. They just kind of just started doing it though, and there was no basis and foundation for it. So it's fine, like you said, but I think there could be more depth there, and that would help her out a lot too.
Excellent. So make sure you have any questions, you guys give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. We went through 3 of the 4. Let's finish up. Well, no, we did all 4. On the other side, yeah. Rhonda has – we haven't heard Marina Shafir or the – what's the other woman's name in the MMA horseman? Marina.
Ooh.
And I should know her. I really
– I should too. I'm about to Google it right now.
Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke.
Yes, there we go.
Marina is usually the harder one to remember, and somehow I remembered her. So yeah. Marina and Jessica, like, have – I don't know. It's whatever. But when it comes to Rhonda, bad reputation, it was her theme in UFC, so I get it. And it's a good walkout music. I don't know how much of an entrance theme it is and how much of an entrance, because it's either the Jekyll Hyde where she's smiling, or – I would prefer, if she's going to play Bad Reputation by Joan Jett, you got to have the, as Steve Austin would call it, the BMF walk from the start of that.
Right.
You can't be smiling. You got to be ready. I'm about to tear your arms off and beat you with them. But her partner in crime in NXT gets that down to a science in terms of what she does, because I think Shayna Baszler's entrance from start to finish is outstanding.
Shayna Baszler's entrance is completely tremendous. Like, it checks off my two main boxes of just being authentic and real. And she, it's, I don't know, the music has this rawness to it. There's no bells and whistles in terms of like any special, you know, poses or points she's got to hit. She just comes out there. She kind of does some shadow boxing. She hits the Queen of Hearts pose, and then she walks to the ring with this. She got the towel on around her neck, and I really love, outside of the music, but when she gets in that ring, she kind of does that kind of shuffle all the way around the in a circle, like she would, or like a fighter would, inside of a UFC octagon. And I love that. She gets in there, she does that, she locks eyes with her opponent as she does it, and it does just a really nice job of setting the tone for her as this complete badass woman who's gonna kick your ass. And I think she's on point with that. And compared to Rhonda, where Baszler is just right in line with her character and totally authentic in nature, Rhonda, there's some hits and misses in there with me. I don't mind Bad Reputation. I think it works for her. People know and they relate her to that entrance theme back to her UFC days. But yeah, like you alluded to, the disconnect with her walking out to that song and then smiling, waving, and handing, you know, things out to fans on the ramp, there's a little bit of a disconnect for me. I think sometimes she hits the right note and sometimes she can be totally off base depending on the night, depending on the situation, depending on what she's walking to the ring for, whether it's a grudge match with Nia Jax or a promo. So I don't know that she's really found her a consistent entrance yet, but I've always said that she's got to just get her emotions in check with that entrance, because that entrance sets the tone for the audience as to what's about to happen, as to what your character is and how that character is being portrayed. And she's just sometimes can just be disconnected in that regard. So I think it comes with being a little bit green. I mean, she only has, you know, less than a year under her belt. So I think in time she'll find that voice with the entrance. But at the moment, it's a little herky-jerky.
And speaking of herky-jerky, I think one person that fits that on the SmackDown roster in terms of her treatment is Asuka. But you can't say that about her entrance. I think it was sometime around the Dana Brooke title match in NXT. Oh, no, not even Dana. It wasn't Dana Brooke. It was the match she had with oh, my God, how did I forget her name just now? Mickie James, the Mickie James takeover match, where she has felt it, and ever since – she's been one with that theme. I mean, there would be some matches where she'd be cool, she'd be fun. That match stood out to me as a time where she was just, I know I'm the baddest woman in the world. I know I'm the hottest woman in the world. I'm going to show you why, and I'm just going to take my sweet time coming down there.
Yep, she sure did. That entrance, and even today still, I think there's a quirkiness to the arc behind her entrance, the way she walks, and she's got the coat and the you know, that mask on there, but it works for her. And it especially worked, probably, like you alluded to, more so in NXT. But yeah, she's right there in line. And I think people see her and you're kind of, you know, whether you know the history of her booking, whether you know, hey, okay, she was undefeated or not, doesn't really matter. If you took somebody who had never seen pro wrestling before and you sat them in front of a TV and showed them, you know, 4, 5, 6 entrances, that Asuka one's going to stick out. There's something about it, that quirkiness and that, you know, kind of just emotion that she can get out of people when she's doing it. Just it's something that you have to keep your eyes on, and that it kind of, it's eye catching. And so I think she's got that going for her, regardless of what storyline she's in. And I think that's a big reason why she's still relevant, given how poorly she's been booked for the better part of 6, 7 months.
Now, before we move on to a kind of like, because we're going to apologize to everyone because of these darn technical difficulties and my marital responsibilities, I may have to cut this deep dive episode shorter than I intend. I want to talk about tag teams, and obviously we have to start with the Usos, because I think their transition from an entrance that worked to an entrance that worked even better is something that bears mentioning.
Yeah, they are, and I think the tag team thing in general is a good thing to discuss with entrances. But yeah, man, I mean, if you're asking me which one I prefer their entrance now. It's kind of just it's one of the more straightforward entrances on the roster. Music hits, they walk out. But I'll tell you what, their previous entrance when they had the face paint on and did the Samoan, I don't know if you call it, I guess, I'm not sure if dance is the right word, or I'll just use the Samoan dance to define it. But that did a good job of setting the tone for their characters as well. And I, again, that to me is a big part of a successful entrance. So yeah, it's a little comic booky. It's a little cartoonish in the way they were presented, but that entrance caught your attention, and it did a good job of defining who the Usos were at that time, like their entrance does for them now.
And on the other side, you have pretty straightforward, and I feel like, again, another case of they did okay separately, but the second they made Sheamus and Cesaro's themes merge and they did the Okta back-to-back motion with the lights, that was the – whoever came up with that needs to do a lot more in that company, because that was genius.
Yeah.
From the lights, because the lights definitely remind me of right before Batista left the first time around, where he would have I Walk Alone and he'd just have the spotlight. And that was another entrance that was just, oh, he really nailed it before he got out of wrestling full time. And so you take that and then you have their themes, which I never thought could ever go together. And it's perfect.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And for a while, I was of the mindset of, oh my God, this is bad. You just put two guys together. And at the time, like they weren't the bar. They were just Sheamus and Cesaro. Ah, we're not really, we don't have much for you. So let's be a tag team. And here you go. We'll merge your entrance music together. And boom, that's all you have. So that music out of the gate, I was like, oh, this is bad stuff. And they didn't really have a cohesive entrance at all when they first started. And now you look at their presentation, they've got a gimmick to them. They've got the same music, which is effective now because they have that gimmick in place. But yeah, when that light hits and they're kind of black silhouettes is in the middle of that light ahead of the entrance, you kind of get the crowd shot behind them, like the full audience in the arena behind them, when the lights come back on. I think that's really cool. And they look big time in that entrance. And I think it's helped their act in WWE to go to that and move to that than just be a merging of two gimmicks into one. They've really made it their own in that way.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other Pro Wrestling Media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
And who would you say, is there anyone that stands out on the opposite side of the ledger where you're kind of like, this theme, I don't know? The closest I could have thought of was back in NXT when it was what was Alexa Bliss's tag team that she managed?
Blake and Murphy?
Yeah, Blake and Murphy, as Travis would call them, the Bleep Blorp twins, because it would just – you'd hear the dubstep, and it would just be – you're like, what is going on? My head hurts.
that's so true. Yeah, I'm trying to think of somebody's – I mean, I'm not a huge fan of the Heath Slater Rhino entrance. For one thing, it's mainly just Heath Slater, and you have this Rhino character coming out with Heath Slater, and who – like, the two have nothing to do with one another, and I think that's a good example of, again, they just kind of put two guys together, and, hey, you know, we're not going to have that much for you, so just walk out to Heath Slater's entrance music. It's fine, you know? So I think that one, and not that we're going to be seeing that much anymore, it doesn't look like, after the events of Monday Night Raw, but that doesn't do too much for me. On the flip side, though, one that I'll pick your brain about, Authors of Pain. I mean, how do you think they look? I mean, I love big shows when they kind of have the helmet and the headgear, and like they look like almost like alien robots from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie or something like that. They look really cool when done right.
Yeah, and I think, first of all, Akam and Razor, I like that. And then, you know, Authors of Pain, Super Collider, and, you know, it's all cute in terms of the package. But then you put them out there in the Riot gear. I would have preferred it with Precious Paul Ellering as opposed to my little dude there, because now you have him as the pants pisser, and that's not you don't want two tough guys being associated, unless it's a Guy Ritchie movie. You're not going to be able to make it work. Like, he could figure out a way to make, like, some dude like Brad Pitt, like, in the very first act, pee himself, and then by the end of the movie, you have, like, two dudes as his tough guys, heavies, and you believe it. With this, you're just like, why are you guys associated with this idiot? Like, what does he do?
He does. And he almost, like, I don't know. He looks like they're, like, kind of like little brother tagging along and not somebody who's actively managing them and getting them to the next place. I think, like, they walk out and this top of the ramp, they both fist bump Drake Maverick. And I'm like, oh, God, that just looks like, you know, two older brothers walking up to a basketball court with their younger brother. Like, it's just, there's nothing menacing about that. But you take AOP alone, and with Paul Ellering, he added a layer of credibility to that act, just because he just looked menacing in between those guys. And I don't think Maverick does in the same way. I'm definitely with you on that.
And I think, looking at the New Day, it's solid all the way around.
Yeah.
I don't know how they've skirted around the legality of chucking food into the crowd without getting in trouble, but hey, if they're able to do it, God bless, keep doing it. I wanted to close with stables. And right now, the best and the brightest in terms of stable entrances to me is Undisputed Era. They are just four dudes. If you see them in a car, you want it run off the road. If they're in a supermarket, there you have 30 items in a Tadams or Less line. They're just smarmy, and they're just annoying, and they skip at the movie theater and sit in seats they aren't supposed to. And that theme, it starts out, and you like it because it sounds like a Rage Against the Machine knockoff, but then they come out, and you're just like, ugh, I forgot it was you.
Yeah, you're right. It starts off like, okay, wow, we're going to see some cool something cool is happening. Then you got Adam Cole's like smirk on his face. You got Kyle O'Reilly smiling the way he does. Same with Roderick Strong. They do that like annoying pose at the top of the ramp. And, you know, I'm with you. You just like want to, when you see them walk down the ramp and they're kind of slowly gallivanting to the ring. O'Reilly's doing the air guitar. It's just like, man, like you just want to stop them and just smack those smirks right off their faces. And so, yeah, it works. Again, like they're hitting the right mark with their entrance because it's setting the tone for their characters. And it's laying that foundation for the audience. So that first second that you see them, you just are like, oh, God, get this guy off my screen. I'm going to slap him. Where's the baby face? Where's Ricochet that's going to come here and take care of business? And it starts from the moment they walk out to that ramp. And it's on point, 100%. As far as stables, too, I'll throw a – and it's kind of similar to Undisputed Era, and it's not a current one, but the Evolution, as I always thought, was really cool and effective for those four guys. Like they obviously all four of them, Ric Flair, Randy Orton, Batista, Triple H, big stars. And like just the kind of the yellow and gold in that entrance, the slow pace of it that allowed them to just saunter down to the ring as the boos reined in. It's just another moment where you're like, God, I just want to smack these guys. They're so arrogant and so annoying. Like where's the baby face at that's gonna rough these guys up? So I think from a stable perspective, their entrance was effective too.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, the Shield, as far as modern entrances before they broke up at their height, that was probably one of the top five, top 10 entrances all time, especially their Mania entrance when they had the Riot masks on and entered from different parts of the stadium. I think that was the one where I think it was Dave Meltzer had quoted that they wanted to do a helicopter, but they couldn't get cleared to do it. And that would have been like,
something.
Yeah, that would have blown my mind. I think that really would have blown my mind. Horseman had an iconic entrance as far as the hooves and then just them walking to the ring. But then out of the new group, I would say I'm trying to think of someone that stands out.
What about Sanity?
Sanity, oh God, yes. Sanity's up there with Authors of Pain without any silliness. And especially when you have like Sanity theme proper, but then when you go to Nikki Cross, she has her own version of it with her screaming, and it's a little higher pitched. And I like the fact that they take the attention to that. It isn't just you have a Sanity theme and you have a Sanity theme. It's like different versions of it.
Yeah, and I especially liked it in and they on SmackDown when they are performing on SmackDown. I think the camera angles and stuff are almost a little bit too overdone in terms of the shakiness that goes along with them. But I think they walked that fine line well in NXT. They were able to kind of move the cameras. They tilted them kind of side to side as they walked to the ring. It was dark. You couldn't see anything. And I think that was just really effective in kind of showcasing what that gimmick was all about. And, you know, the name Sanity, just to me, it kind of exudes an element of we have no idea what's going to happen, what's coming from where. And the way their entrance is shot kind of it rolls and mirrors that a little bit because you can't really see anything effectively. You're just kind of looking all over the place going, okay, what the heck's going on? And that when I hear Sanity, like that's what I think of. So I think they're on point there too.
Yeah. And I'll close up my side of things with two that are outside of WWE, one of which is British Strong Style. When they come out and wrestle together, that entrance, them timing Trent Seven does a really good job of before he enters the ring. If those of you, if you notice, he'll grab his towel and kind of wrap it around his neck and slowly roll in and let the fans build up. And so him and Tyler Bate doing that while Pete Dunne is putting his fist to his chin as he holds a belt in his mouth, or the heel version they would do when they were bragging about being signed by WWE, where they would all do the Triple H spit on the apron and then do their regular entrance. That's just I love that. And then
great.
I'm a big fan finally of that one, and then also the I just anytime they come out together, the CCK / Ring Kampf / what's it called? Oh God, not Schadenfreude, but basically Ring Kampf. It's a very, very straightforward. Very, you come out to some great, you know, it's like an 8th symphony or something like that. Your arm behind your back, and you're just really serious. Ring Kampf is just super serious. Then on the other side, you have CCK, which regardless of what iteration it is, they're basically really good wrestlers that choose to be scumbags when they wrestle you. And so when you have who is it? It is Tim Thatcher and Chris Brooks together. It's the best of CCK and the best of Ring Kampf, because Chris Brooks will try to be like very serious and erudite and like do the Ring Kampf arm behind his back, and then Tim Thatcher will notice it and like slap him and say, "No, no, that's, you can't do that." Yeah. And then, so I really like, and I mentioned this last week when I did it might have been 2 weeks ago. I always like when there's a dynamic with the personalities where one person's kind of like trying to emulate the other, not to the level of what's going on now with Bobby Roode.
Yeah,
it's not that level, but I do like it where it's like one person is trying to either rehabilitate themselves or go on the straight and narrow, and they just can't do it. So I and then finally when the other person like gives in to their darker impulses for a second, I think that's neat.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll comment quickly on an entrance outside of WWE that I think is really good, and then throw something at you too. Jay White. I think he's got a really cool entrance going on. I like the music that's behind him. I like how his ring attire just kind of lines up. I never fully understood what the Switchblade character necessarily was or what it necessarily meant, but he's got this consistent presentation with kind of the posy hits at the top of his entrance and the kind of the Switchblade sound that opens up his music. So I think his it's kind of dark, it's brooding, and very much in line with who Jay White is as a character. And I'd be remiss to do a show about pro wrestling entrances if I didn't bring up Stone Cold Steve Austin's entrance, because that, in my opinion, probably one of the best entrances of all time, between that the glass hitting, the straight up BMF walk down to the ring, hit each of those ring posts, grab a mic, and then go to work. So I've always loved that one. I just there's something about that glass hitting and the ensuing insanity of a pop that came afterwards that was always just artistically beautiful to me. It still is to this day, even though I know exactly what it sounds like. But even to this day, you cue up a Stone Cold entrance with that glass and that pop, and it's that to me is, you know, that's pro wrestling. That's the artistry of this business shining through. So love it.
Yeah, I agree. I was even thinking when I was thinking about this show, driving to run some errands before I had to get back home, I thought about even when he switched to the Disturbed version, that was still good, and that would have been great for any other wrestler, but you're like, I miss the old one. And that's how great.
Right.
It was so simple but so effective. You break the glass, and then when he even would drop the – if you hear the glass, you know, so many different things he could play off of it. And then it got to the point where he had BMF written on the left side of his vest. And it's like and it's just – all of it is just in there. And so I really appreciated that. So Zach.
Real quick on the Steve Austin too. Sorry, I could talk about this forever. I apologize.
No, that's fine. No. I'll have you back on to really dive into some more stuff, obviously.
Nice. No, yeah, no, but this, the Steve Austin, again, I think we talked about this a couple times, but the intensity of that entrance is there. There's no fooling around. That glass hits, he's out there, and then he's in that ring going to work, doing business. And I think, you know, it's in line with his character. That's a common theme of my analysis here, but it also just, it sets the crowd. It gets them ready, which is what I just think is so special about it.
No, yeah, you're right. And I mean, even when I think about like The Rock's with another one where people would get ready. They knew it was him. They knew it was coming. The Razor Ramon was kind of good, but then it wasn't as good as when it got used later with Austin, actually. And I did that with theme music where you could compare like Jim Johnson kind of borrowing from himself. And that's like, you know, stealing from yourself is the best form of flattery, I guess, as one would say.
Yeah, right. Gotcha.
But yeah, so before we get out of here, Zach, why don't you let the folks know where they can find you on the Twitterverse and how they can follow you for all of the great content you bring to the torch.
Yes, appreciate it, Rich. Well, you know, recently, folks, I've lost a battle with Twitter. So if you're following me on my old account, which is at Z Haydorn, that is no longer active. So now give me a follow over at Z Haydorn Torch. That's at ZHEYDORN Torch. And yeah, 99.9% pro wrestling related stuff. But I'll, you know, my reports will be there, links to the VIP page for you guys out there who aren't Torch VIP members yet. That's there for you too. And check me out during the week all over pwtorch.com, and then go VIP and check out the show on the canvas. It drops every Friday afternoon.
Well, thanks for taking the time tonight, Zach, and I appreciate you and all the craziness going on with the week and being so flexible.
Oh, absolutely, Rich. Anytime. Love talking wrestling to you. So appreciate talking wrestling with you. Excuse me. But appreciate you having me on, and let's do it again soon.
Sounds like a plan. So, everyone, I hope you have a great night, great weekend. As always, dive into something new. Challenge yourself. Push yourself beyond that plus ultra. And we'll be seeing you next week. I will have Problematic Sean Covington on. And Lord knows what we're going to talk about. I apologize in advance. Be good. Stay with me for a moment as the boss man drops some information on the latest and greatest in VIP. Until next time, I've been Rich Fan. Keep diving.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free editions of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer. And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.